there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
So we'll come back to that screen in a few minutes because I'm going to ask you some other questions during this message. We're reading from the Bible, from the book of Acts chapter 11. And I'll just quickly read this to you from Acts chapter 11. It says, "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch." That's the church that we're speaking about. "So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the..." church. And thank you for that. "And taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Say first. Up until this point, they weren't known as Christians. They were just known as followers of the way. But at this point in Antioch, they started calling people that went to church Christians. Say Christians. Okay, you know a few Christians. One or two of you in the room might be a Christian. Now, so they were first called Christians at Antioch. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Now, Christianity has picked up over the last 2,000 years since this time. Probably lots of ideas, connotations about what it means to be a Christian. Some of them might be good, some of them might not be so good, okay? I know, for me, my journey to becoming what they call a Christian, it took a little while. So it began at about the age of 4. When I was about 4, my mum and dad sent me to a club called Tuesday Night Special. And Tuesday Night Special happened in a little building just around the court in Redfield. And I would go there with a few other kids. And I learned at Tuesday Night Special, I just learned really simply that there was a God, that his son was Jesus, and that Jesus wanted to be my friend. And that's about as much as I understood at the age of 4. And it was enough for me to go, "Oh, I think I would like Jesus to be my friend. I think I'd like to know him. I think there's more than meets the eye." And at 4 years old, I said a little prayer. Yeah, next to my mum's bed. Because I went into her bedroom, she was in bed, and I said, "I think I want to be a friend of Jesus." So we prayed a prayer. That was when I was 4. And then from pretty much the age of 4 through till about 13, 14 years old, I kind of had a faith in Jesus that I knew I believed in him, but I didn't like church. I didn't like going to church. Mum and Dad had to drag us to church. I remember, I don't know if they're still about, but we used to have something called micro machines. They were like little cars. And I used to sit at the back of church with my micro machines and drive them off of the seats at your sound. And I just, it did not pay much attention to what was going on in church at all, because I just, it was for grown-ups, really, and it wasn't for me. And so I was kind of a Christian, but I would say I was not really a Christian. I was just being taken to church. But then around about the age of, I don't know, I was in my mid-teens, I think. I was a little bit old enough now to listen to what was being said. And maybe as well, I was a little bit old enough now to, too old to play micro machines. And I was also just about old enough to sing the songs and understand some of the words in some of the songs. And so everybody else was singing in church, so I just sang along with them. But there was something that happened in that really changed me. Because that was when I really would say I first experienced an encounter with the Jesus that I believed in my head. Like, he wasn't just in my head now. I had an experience in my soul where I thought, I've never felt that before. I'd never thought this was possible. And it was the feeling of love, like we've been singing about this morning. Like, I felt more loved in that moment than ever before. And then I turn up the next Sunday, I go, "Oh, I'm going to have a bit of that again." So I sang. And the more I sang, the more loved I felt. And the more I became interested in what God had to say to me. The more the Bible seemed to come to life. Before it was just lots of stories. Now those stories seem to make a lot of sense. And they seem to explain my life and the things I was going through. And over a period of time, I became a follower of Jesus. And not because it's a religion that I just signed up to, but because I experienced Jesus for myself. Now, here's the thing. I also knew I probably wasn't good enough for Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else think, does he really love me? I learned something really important in those early days that has always stuck with me, and I'll need a volunteer to help me with this morning. So I need somebody to come and help me who thinks they are particularly athletic, okay? Is there anybody in the room that feels particularly athletic? Can I use this one as well? Anybody feel particularly athletic today?
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to pick on somebody who's athletic. Zara. Okay, Zara. Would you like to stand on that chair for me there, Zara? Okay. Everybody, round of applause for Zara. Okay, thank you, Zara, for being here. Wonderful. Zara's on that chair over there. And Zara represents not just herself, she represents you as well. And she represents everybody in this room. In fact, not just everybody in this room. Zara, you represent the human race today, okay? You are mankind and womankind, okay, here on this chair. And this is your life. And this chair over here, this chair represents God. This chair represents Jesus Christ, okay? And everything that he represents heaven, he represents goodness, he represents love, he represents creation, he represents grace, and he represents everything heaven has, okay? And you're over there and he's over here. Now, what I'd like you to do, Zara, because you need him, you need God in your life. You need his love in your life. You need his mercy in your life. You need his kindness in your life. You need heaven, okay? Because without heaven, well, what is there? So you need him. So what I want you to do is jump to him, please. I want you to land on that chair. Whoa, okay. That's not a bad effort, is it? Not a bad effort. What I failed to tell you was that this represents a chasm that is millions of miles deep and you just fell into it. I'm sorry. It was a good effort. High five. You go and take a seat. Thank you very much for your help. What I learned was this, that with all of my best intentions, with all of my best efforts at being good and being good enough, I would never make it to God. I learned that even if I were Mother Teresa, I'd still maybe make it here, or maybe here, but I'd still miss. Because what I realized was, I need saving. I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. All of my stuff created this chasm. My wrongdoing created this chasm, and I need saving. And so this is what I learned about Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did when he came? I know you will have learned about him in school. You would have learned about him in life. Jesus, here's what he came to do. He came to bring us together. To bring God to us and us to God. And if I were Zara now, I don't actually need to be that athletic to make the journey across. Now, me, with all of my imperfections, can know God, and God can really know me. And the bridge that made the difference was Jesus Christ. He came and did what I couldn't do and bridged the gap so that I could have a relationship with God. So when I was a kid and I was singing in church, I didn't know this. All I knew was that suddenly he was close to me when I sang. And I became a Christian. Not just because I heard about it, but because I experienced that love. Has anybody else had that experience? Yeah. Do you know billions of people across the world have had that experience? I reckon today there's over 1 billion Christians in the world. Over 1 billion people whose story or testimony is, God came near to me. And now I know him as well. Interesting. But we were first called Christians at Antioch, which was a church in Syria about 2,000 years ago. And the scholars, they say there's evidence to suggest that in Antioch, being called a Christian was a bad thing. Like it was like a mockery, all right? So people would point and make fun of the people in the church and call them Christians as a derogatory term. But do you know what the church did? They were proud of it. Yeah, okay then. And it caught on. Yeah, we're Christians. And it caught on. And so what happened is we became known as, anybody that followed Jesus became known as a Christian. But over those 2,000 years, Christians have done all sorts of not so good things as well in the name of Jesus. All right, not my fault. Don't blame me. People have done. So when you strip back all of the last 2,000 years and you just try and get back to the simple hub or idea of what it means to be a Christian, what do you think it means? We're going to put the slide up on the screen and you can text in. What do you think it means to be a Christian when everything is stripped back? When it comes down to it, it is simplest at its core. What do you reckon it means to be a Christian? Let's see if a few answers come up on the screen and we can engage with some of those. What do you have a think? Even if you can't write up on the screen, have a little think now. What do you reckon it means to be a Christian? Have a little think. Reflect. Maybe you can make a note or two on your phone if you want to. And okay, we have eight participants. Oh God, lots here. Okay, so here's a few ideas coming from the room. Being a Christian means having a relationship with God, to be in a relationship with Jesus, a follower of Jesus. It means to be forgiven. That's a good one, isn't it? Being a Christian is somebody who understands they're forgiven. It means to respect God. That's a good word. This seems to be the theme that keeps coming up, a follower of Christ. To live a life, to have faith in God, that's good. To believe in God and know how much Jesus loves you, that's good. To be a true follower of Jesus, not somebody who's just making it up, but truly is following Jesus. Excellent. Somebody who has belief in God. Being bold, I'm not sure how that got on there. You have to be bold to be a Christian? What I'll tell you is this. Being bold doesn't make you a Christian, but it does make you one of the better-looking Christians. And so I will say that for those of us that are... Well, thank you, Kai. It does make you one of the better-looking Christians. Okay, anything else up there? To live a life for Christ. Very good. Very good. There's so many good ideas on here about what it basically means to be a Christian is to love God and others, to be a follower of Christ. That's really, really good. I want to add one that isn't on there, and I think it's an important one that should be included when we try and think about what it means to be a Christian. And it's found in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says this in that passage, and Jesus is speaking this, and he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my..." Say it. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So when Jesus was describing what his followers would be like, he used the word, "They'll be witnesses." They'll be witnesses. So at some level, being a Christian is being a... Say it. You can do better than that. Being a Christian is being a witness. Okay, well, that's an interesting word. What is a witness? Okay, you have 1 minute on the screen. What do you think it means to be a witness? Have a little think. I'm really working the tech guys hard because they're having to keep switching between screens this morning. What do you think it means to be a witness? Here we go. There it is. What do you think it means to be a witness? Have a little think about that. Ever been a witness? What do you reckon it means? To observe, giving your story, being an example. When you see things, someone who saw something happen, or someone who watches something happen, to testify. To someone who saw and then told. Really good. Someone who gives their story, who's willing to tell their story. Showing Jesus to others in word and deed. To see and hear directly and then share. Okay, really good thoughts, that. Really good ideas about what it means to be a witness. You know, the definition in the dictionary is kind of gives a court setting to it. It says to testify, to give, or to afford evidence. To afford evidence. In some respect, Jesus is saying that your life will give evidence to the truth of who I am. If you are a Christian, you are a witness. And what does a witness do? They're like living evidence that Jesus is true. Yeah. I think we're getting down really to the nub of what it means to be a Christian, aren't we? We're getting down to the basic, this is what it means to be a Christian, to be a witness. And clearly the disciples that were in Antioch lived in such a way that other people thought, they've been around Jesus. They follow Jesus. There was some evidence from their lives to show that they were Christians. They were signposts. Now, this is really important. What is a witness not? In a court setting, what is a witness not? They're not the judge. They're not the jury. They're not the person on trial. And they're not the answer. They're just the witness. I saw. I've experienced. I have felt. I have seen, and this is what I saw. I saw Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. To be a witness. To be somebody who shares what they've experienced with others about their encounter with Jesus Christ. In the book of John, John's this kind of witness. There's a story in John chapter 1. And it tells us about John the Baptist. And this is what it says about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a
witness.
Say it again. He came as a
witness.
To testify. To testify. To give evidence. To afford evidence. Concerning the light. So that through him all might believe. John was a witness. So when Jesus then uses that same word in Acts chapter 1 and says, you're going to be my witnesses, he's saying, hey, you guys, follow the example of John the Baptist. You're going to be like him. Through your witness, through your evidence, through your story, through your encounter, others will get to hear about Jesus and believe in him through your story, through your life, through the evidence you provide. Isn't that cool? I'm going to give you three real quick things. This is how we are witnesses. Number one, through our testimony. Number one, through our testimony. What's your testimony? That's your story. That's your experience as authentically as you can. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. But it's your honest encounter with Jesus in you describing it to someone else. Your story is so powerful. You may say, but I wasn't like, you know, I haven't got this incredible story where, you know, I was, you know, a drug addict and I was a criminal and I've been in prison and I slept around and then I reached the age of 12 and I became a Christian. Right? You may think, well, I haven't got that story. That's a wild life. All right, Ed's got that story, but we haven't got that story, have we? So you may go, oh, well, my story's not that impressive. You heard my story. Was it impressive? No, but it was authentic. It was my story. It's how I met Jesus. The world needs to hear your story. You need to hear, not be imperfect. You haven't got to have the whole Bible like in front of them. You just got this. I know you may not believe, but I do, and this is why. I know you don't go to church, and I do, and this is why. Your story's powerful. In John chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of one woman's testimony. One woman told her story, and a whole town came to believe in Jesus. Your story, you never know how powerful your story is. Number two, so our testimony, we witness through our testimony. Secondly, we witness through our example. This is the way you live your life. And I reckon it should be measurably different to the rest of the world. Otherwise, we're the same. Should be measurably different. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus said these words, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, by the way you love one another." He said there should be something measurably different about how we do life, about the way we love one another, that is a witness to, is evidence of the love of God amongst us. Isn't that cool? A third way you can be a witness is through our acts in the world, through our goodness, through our light shining. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Through our kindness, through our generosity, through our meeting the needs of the poorest of the poor, through us being good, we afford evidence. We are a witness to the true light, Jesus Christ. Our little bit of light is his light shining through us. So if I were to boil down, what does it mean to be a Christian? I think I'd say all those things you said, and being bold, and being a witness through my story, through my example, and through my acts of goodness in the world. And if they're genuine and authentic, I think a few people might look up and want to know more. They'll look at that evidence and go, "That's a lot better than what I'm getting." So let me ask you today. If you were taken to court with the charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you, or would you get off scot-free? Or would they say, "Guilty as charged, you are a Christian"? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? Have you ever met him? Have you ever encountered him like I did? Truth is, if you haven't, you're in the right place at the right time, because he wants to encounter you. And for me, it's very simple. You just take a step of faith. "Okay, God, I'm not sure, but I'm willing to give you a go. I'm willing to try. Will you come and meet with me where I am today?"